Good morning and welcome to the Northwest Mo Info Show, where we take you around Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa to help you stay up to date on local events and opportunities, and also get involved with local groups who are helping make a difference around the region. I am your host, Rick Turner. We hear a lot about the need for blood donations, especially over the past couple of years. And during the winter months, that need's even greater because winter months makes it harder for people to get out and donate. January is National Blood Donor Month. We're going to visit with Chelsea Smith from the Community Blood Center. They cover a great deal of our listening area. Later in the program, we're going to continue our focus on healthcare as we speak with Nicole Tatum from the Harrison County Community Hospital and hear about their swing bed program. We've heard a lot about the urgent need for blood donations here in the past couple of years. As we're getting into the colder weather months, it seems like that need is getting even greater. Chelsea Smith from Community Blood Center joins us this morning to discuss that need and the donation process. So, Chelsea, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So let's just get started. On average, in our area, how much blood is needed?
Yeah, so across our entire service area, which encompasses eastern Kansas and western Missouri, we need to collect about 200,000 blood products every single year. So that includes blood, that includes platelets, and plasma. And all of those blood products go to hospitals across our service area and treat patients with trauma, experiencing trauma, patients experiencing chemotherapy, things like that.
And when you talk about our area, I know it encompasses a pretty large geographic area. What areas do you cover specifically?
Yeah, we cover much of western Missouri going all the way up to the Iowa border, and then northeastern Kansas. And then we also go about as far south as the Cole Camp area. We are the primary supplier in our region. And then in surrounding regions, we butt up against some other blood center territories. But Community Blood Center here provides about 90% of the blood needs for our hospitals in our region.
And I know we've talked about, you know, on the news for a long time, it seems like, you know, that shortage, and it just, you know, it seems like it's popping up, you know, quite often that we hear that urgent need. So what is the need right now? What is the current status?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have been in a blood shortage since the onset of the pandemic. We are coming out of that a little bit, but we're still seeing shockingly low numbers compared to what we were seeing in 2019. And for example, in our region alone, there are about 25,000 blood donors that haven't returned since the onset of the pandemic. So these are donors who were regularly donating with us in 2019 and 2018 and haven't been back since. We do think, you know, the pandemic did change a lot of things. We kind of live in a different world now. So it's kind of harder to get people out of their homes and to come in and find us and donate blood. But unfortunately, though our donations have dropped, the need has remained the same. There are patients every single day that need blood transfusions in our area, and we're reliant on voluntary blood donors to come in and help us meet that need. And when they're not coming in, when we have 25,000 donors who just dropped off and stopped donating, I mean, it creates a blood shortage that's very hard for us to get out of.
And I would guess certain times of the year, especially like wintertime, does that probably even drop off more because of, you know, just the weather, people not wanting to get out to do the donations?
Yeah, absolutely. So in a normal year, we might experience a blood shortage, especially in the winter months. So in December, you know, when the holidays are keeping people busy, and then when winter weather is keeping people away, we always see a drop in donations year to year and might go on a blood shortage around those times, but it's never consistent like it has been for the past 3 years. Even in times where normally our collections are quite high, they've been consistently low for about 3 years now. So we're hoping to see in 2023 those numbers go back up and go back to normal. We're hoping this message doesn't continue to fall on deaf ears, because we know that it is. We know that people are tired of hearing us talk about the blood shortage, and quite frankly, we're tired of talking about it. But the only solution to this shortage is blood donors.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't think about it until, you know, they're the one, their family members are the ones that need that blood.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our blood donors, even our staff members at Community Blood Center, have, unique stories. They're working here or they're donating here because they had family members who needed treatment here, or maybe they needed treatment themselves. But it's very likely that there's somebody in your life now that you know who's needed blood. 1 in 3 people in our area need a blood transfusion at some point in their life. That is a huge number of people. So these are your neighbors, these are your coworkers, your friends, your family members. That's who you're helping when you make a blood donation.
And this is something that, you know, you can't just store up, you know, an unlimited amount. This is something that, you know, blood and plasma, you know, doesn't last forever, I'm sure. So what's the time period that, you know, the blood lasts, so you can have to constantly, you know, renew that supply?
Yeah, that's the unique part of our industry, is that we can't really stockpile all of the blood during times of plenty and save it for when we know we're going to struggle, because blood expires on the shelf. So actual blood, red blood cells, last about 52 days, and then they have to be expired or discarded. And then plasma lasts about 4 weeks. Platelets last only 5 to 7 days. So that's another huge need that we have, is for platelet donations, which is a different kind of donation. It takes a little bit longer, and we can only collect those in one of our 7 donor centers across our service area. But that's another huge need that we have. These products, they can't be manufactured. We can only get them from human blood donors. So when we're low like this, it truly does mean that we are reliant on people to hear this message and answer that call to come in and make a donation.
And I know a lot of people, they think about, you know, getting that needle stuck in their arm, and it just causes, you know, fear and anxiety. And for people who haven't done this, can you kind of walk us through the donation process, both for the blood, like at the mobile centers, and for the platelets that you're talking about?
Yeah, so for blood donations, we usually recommend about 45 minutes to an hour that you set aside. That actually encompasses the entire registration process and the donation. So it's not like you're going to be sitting on a bed with a needle in your arm for an hour. It's a quick 4 to 5 step process. You come in and you get registered. We'll take a photo ID from you and get your information. Then you answer some questions about your medical history, recent travel, things like that. And then we do a really quick physical, so we'll check your temperature, your pulse, your blood pressure, and get the iron levels in your blood. And then from there, you go and donate. And that's actually the quickest part. It takes only about 10 minutes for you to be there on the bed. Our staff are very well trained, and they do this day in and day out every day. It is second nature to them. You barely feel the pinch as the needle goes in. You can't even feel it at all while you're sitting there donating. And then afterward, we, you know, disconnect you, and you go and have some snacks and some soft drinks on us. So it's a pretty simple process. We try to make it as quick and painless for you as we can. The process for donating platelets is exactly the same, except when you actually do get on the bed, it takes a little bit longer because all we're taking from you is platelets, which means your blood product is going out into a centrifuge. We're spinning it there on site, and we're giving you back your red blood cells and your plasma, and we're just keeping your platelets. So that process actually takes about 2 to 2.5 hours. Which is why it is uniquely different from donating whole blood. It does take more of your time, but you're able to donate more often when you donate platelets, and the need for platelets, as I mentioned, is incredibly high. Most often it's cancer patients who are receiving platelet treatments. A lot of times chemotherapy can deplete a patient's platelet count, which means they need a platelet transfusion while they're getting their chemotherapy.
I know your website has some, you know, some tips, I guess, you know, before you give the donation and both after, like, you know, being hydrated and rested. What are some other tips you can give us for, you know, both before and after?
Sure, yeah. Hydrate and rest, like you mentioned. But also, some people assume that you have to fast before you donate blood, kind of like with other procedures, other health procedures. That is the opposite of what we want you to do. We want you to have a hearty meal before you come in, and then after you donate, blood donation days are a really good day to sort of take a break from those diets. We want you to have another hearty meal after you've donated to help you replenish that iron and recover from your donation nicely. Most people, so only about 2% of donors ever have a negative reaction. So that's very rare for people to come in and not feel well after a donation. So I did want to address that. That's kind of a common misconception, is that if you donate blood, you're going to pass out or not feel well. That is very uncommon. If you are well rested, well hydrated, and you've eaten a good hearty meal, your donation is going to go perfectly.
All right, there's another reason that people should go out and give. You get to, you know, basically get a cheat day there. So, like I said, you know, we have announced blood drives here on our radio station. We announce them all the time. We announced, you know, tons, it seems like. So it's not a lack of the blood drives that's out there keeping people from doing this. So we can't even announce all of the area blood drives. How do people find where these mobile drives at and find your centers, and how do they get, you know, connected with you and an appointment with you to give their blood?
Yeah, I do think one issue that we're still dealing with from COVID is that a lot of our blood drives used to take place at workplaces, and a lot of people are working remote now, which means that in order to donate blood, you've got to leave your house and come find us. We are doing our best to make ourselves as accessible to you as we can. So we have dozens and dozens of blood drives every month out in communities across our region, and we have 7 neighborhood donor centers that are open as well. All of those locations can be found online at savealifenow.org. You can search for locations using your zip code to find the ones nearest you and make an appointment there online.
Well, I do appreciate your time, taking the time to talk to us today about the need for blood donations and give us a little more information. Hopefully, you know, calm some people's nerves here as they get ready to donate. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's Chelsea Smith from the Community Blood Center. You are listening to the Northwest Mo Info Show on Regional Radio. You may have heard the term swing bed and not be real familiar with what it actually entails. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll be speaking with Nicole Tatum to learn more about swing beds and how Harrison County Community Hospital serves patients in the area needing assistance getting back on their feet so they can return back home. Welcome back to the Northwest Mo Info Show. Swing beds play a crucial role in getting people back on their feet so they can return home and resume their normal lives after an accident or illness. Many have heard the term as swing beds but don't know a lot about it. Nicole Tatum joins us this morning from Harrison County Community Hospital to tell us a little bit more. And we have Nicole Tatum with us from the Harrison County Community Hospital. She's going to talk about the swing bed. That's kind of a term that people have heard of but maybe not be real familiar with. So welcome, Nicole. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
So if you could just tell us, you know, what is a swing bed for those that don't know?
So the swing bed program here at Harrison County Community Hospital bridges the gap from helping patients, quote unquote, swing from acute care back to home. It's typically where patients receive rehabilitation therapy or IV therapy or other skilled medical care needs to help improve their strength and independence prior to returning home.
When someone goes to the hospital, obviously, you know, it's you know, not an experience that a lot of people, you know, are used to. There's a lot of different things that go on in the hospital, and that's kind of different even from when someone goes to a swing bed. So what could you expect, you know, the differences between just regular hospitalization and then going over to a swing bed?
So our swing bed team, I'll kind of talk about them a little bit. What makes up our team is an activity coordinator, which you can expect for our activity individual to come into your room every day just to provide activities to keep your mind active. We also have a care coordinator that ensures that you qualify for your swing bed stay. We have dietary staff. Of course, we have nursing staff 24/7 that are there for all of your needs. We have a pharmacist, rehabilitation therapist. We have physical, occupational, and speech therapy here. Your physician continues to oversee you during your stay here. We also have respiratory therapist and also a social worker that assists with your discharge planning needs.
Now, is there a certain time limit to be in a swing bed?
It depends on your insurance, and it's kind of a situation by situation base.
Okay, now let's talk about the insurance and Medicare just a little bit. What's the process of going through the, you know, to see if you do actually do qualify for it?
If you have original Medicare, it does cover your skilled care. There are a lot of factors that go into that. When you go and talk about Medicare Advantage, you are required to get a prior auth before you're able to qualify for swing bed. And so there is a little bit of difference there, but regardless, we see a lot of Medicare and Medicare Advantage individuals that come through our swing bed.
What is the ultimate goal that you're trying to get done through the swing bed program?
Our ultimate goal is to get the patient back to their day-to-day activities, to get them back to where, you know, obviously they can go home and be successful, and also to help them figure out how to do day-to-day.
What can the hospital offer as far as, you know, somebody has a stroke or something like that coming into a swing bed?
We do offer, like I said earlier, physical, occupational, and speech therapy. And, you know, I might be a little biased here, but we do have a phenomenal therapy program here in the community. And they definitely are patient-centered. They want patients to go back home and, you know, like I said earlier, definitely want to get patients back to the baseline and to their very best.
And one of those major benefits, obviously, if you're in a program like this that's extended, you know, you can be close to home and local and not have to have family far away from you.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say we do, if you are transferred out to another facility, those facilities, if you just ask them like, hey, you know, I want to get closer to home where my family is, like you said, Rick, you know, you just have to ask them, advocate for yourself. I think that's a big thing nowadays is just advocating for your medical needs. And just by asking, you know, hey, would I qualify for the swing bed program? We definitely have a team that will review that and coordinate with outside facilities to get you back home.
And I think it's important to emphasize also, like you say, even if you're in another facility, you can still come back to Harris County Community Hospital. People are going into, they're in the hospital, they're thinking about having to go to a swing bed, and I'm sure it's overwhelming for them and their families. How do they get more information, or can they contact the hospital to find out more for their certain situations?
If they want more information about the swing bed program, they can contact me at the hospital, and I would be happy to provide them more information. Obviously, I have pamphlets. I'm more than welcome to meet one-on-one with families over the phone, whatever best fits them.
And we do appreciate you joining us. This is Nicole Tatum with the Harris County Community Hospital. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning here on the Northwest Mo Info Show. Join us next week at 8:30 as we take a look at some of the legislation that's already been pre-filed in the Missouri General Assembly. Some of that legislation could greatly affect all of us, especially that deals with taxes and agriculture. We'll be getting an update also on the flu season as we head farther into winter. We'll be joined by Bree Bennett from the Harrison County Health Department to find out how to stay healthy and some tips on what to do when you feel that flu coming on. If you missed the show, want to share it with friends or family, or want to hear it again, you can check out all the shows in podcast form on northwestmoinfo.com. For the Northwest Mo Info Show, this is Rick Turner. Thanks for joining us this morning.